Good morning.
Good morning.
It is an honor to be in front of you today, and as always, it is humbling to be up here in front of the children of God. Whether I'm leading prayer or reading from the scriptures or trying to bring a lesson, it's always humbling, and I thank you. So, good news, bad news. Bad news first. I have not timed out my sermon today. So, if I don't stay on script, it could be in for a long one. The good news, my loving wife, my wonderful wife, put a roast in the crock pot last night, and I could smell it all morning long. So I am motivated to stay on script today. So happy Mother's Day. And although today's sermon is going to be inspired, that's a word we talked about in Bible class today, right, Dwayne? It's going to be inspired by Mother's Day. I can't do a sermon based on Mother's Day because I cannot talk about the women in my life who are mothers without getting weepy. I can't even talk about talking about it. Just know I want to say happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there, and I am in awe of what you do. So thank you. Okay. Whew. So today is Mother's Day. Our culture pauses to honor our mothers, and that is a good thing. But as God's people, and this is the Lord's Day, we're here to worship God and to study God's Word. And when we do that, we discover many powerful things. And one of those things that we discover is that God teaches us through the lives of mothers in the Bible. Many mothers in the Bible. As a matter of fact, when I prepared my list, I think it was around 50 to 60 women in the Bible who influence the outcome, who were part, who played a part and role within the scriptures, both Old Testament and New. So you cannot have, matter of fact, Christ came through a couple of women who were named as in his heritage. So you cannot get to where we are today without women. Obviously. Okay, so the women of the Bible that we're going to talk about today are not, I would say, are not just ideal mothers. They're not perfect mothers, and they're not storybook mothers, but real women, faithful, flawed, courageous, fearful at times, hopeful, and sometimes heartbroken. Women whose lives God ensured was recorded so that all of us can learn from their lives. So today, instead of preaching a sermon that praises motherhood, I want to use this time to develop four themes from the scriptures that rise from the accounts of the lives of some of these mothers and some of these women. So let's begin. So God teaches us through the lives of mothers, as I mentioned before, and these are real women. I'm a slide behind, I apologize. So mothers have showed faith in hard times. Some of the greatest demonstrations of faith in the Bible come from mothers who trusted God when life was anything but easy. Jochebed, you may not be familiar with that name, but that's Moses' mother. So Pharaoh had ordered that every Hebrew child, every Hebrew son, was to be killed. But Jochebed hid Moses for 3 months. When she couldn't hide him anymore, she placed him in a basket and set him afloat on the Nile. But this was not an act of despair. This is an act of faith. And we know this because in the book of Hebrews, it says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. So the lesson we can take from Jochebed is that faith doesn't always know the outcome, but it always knows the God who holds the outcome. Sometimes the most faithful thing that you can do is place what you love most into God's hands. Hannah prayed through tears. She longed for a child. Verse 7 of chapter 1 states, "So it was year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord that she," speaking of Peninnah, that's Elkanah's other wife, "provoked her. Therefore she wept bitterly." Imagine that, year by year, barren while her rival mocks her and prospers and was blessed and has children of her own. That must have been something that was bitter to experience. But God does bless Hannah with a son. And God gave her Samuel. She kept her vow and dedicated him to the Lord. So the lesson we learn from Hannah is that faith surrenders the gift of God back to God. We don't cling to blessings. We steward them. The widow of Zarephath. Now, Zarephath is a place, not a person. Okay, so she had one handful of flour left. This was at a time when there was drought and famine. She had one handful of flour left, one last meal. But she trusted God's word through Elijah, and God provided. Amazingly, we never learned this faithful woman's name. 1 Kings chapter 17, 14 through 16 says, "For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth." So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah. And she and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. So the lesson that we learn from this widow is that faith obeys, even when resources are low, because God's supply is never low. Mary, when told that she would give birth to the Son of the Highest and whose kingdom would have no end, Mary's response is recorded in Luke chapter 1, verse 38. "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." Now, she said this knowing full well the shame and the danger. Keep in mind, back then they stoned women for adultery. But she said this full well, knowing the shame, the danger, and the misunderstanding that she could face. But through her, Christ was brought into this world. Now, the lesson that I take from Mary is that obedience to God may cost you something, but it brings Christ into the world. So these mothers teach us that faith is not sentimental. It's not soft. It's not passive. Faith is courageous obedience in hard times. Now, there's a lesson for us, and that's a lesson for every one of us, excuse me. But in summary, for these women, I wrote down, faith is courageous, faith obeys, faith trusts, and faith surrenders. So now I want to talk about mothers who struggled but grew. Because not every mother in Scripture is a model of perfect faith. Some struggled deeply. And God recorded their stories in His accounts to show us that God works through imperfect people. First person I want to talk about is Sarah. Now, Sarah laughed at God's promise to bring her a son. And Genesis 18, verse 12, says, "Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also." So she was struggling with her faith. Now, she decided to help God. She decided that she should take things into her own hands with her maidservant Hagar. But God rejected that help and still fulfilled his word through her. And through her, Isaac is born. So the lesson I take away from Sarah is God's faithfulness is greater than our impatience. He keeps his promises even when we doubt. Even if we stumble, he keeps his promises. Rebekah loved Jacob more than Esau. Genesis chapter 25, verses 27 through 28 tells us, "So the boys grew, and Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, but Jacob was a mild man, dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob." So she schemed to secure the blessings for Jacob. Her manipulation eventually tore that family apart. So the lesson that I took from Rebekah, trying to force God's plan always creates pain. Trusting God is better than trying to be in control. Rachel. Now, Rachel envied her sister. Matter of fact, she said to Jacob, because at this point she had not had any children, and Leah was having children, she said to Jacob, "Give me children or else I die." So here she is, the beloved and favored and favorite of Jacob, but miserable to the point of wishing to be dead. Her jealousy robbed her of what joy she could have had. So the lesson I take from Rachel is envy blinds us to the blessings that we already have. Job's wife. Job wasn't the only one that lost everything. His wife lost everything also. She lost her home, her wealth, her children. In her grief, she even said to Job, "Curse God and die." But God restored her in the end, right along with Job. So the lesson I take from Job's wife is suffering can distort our vision and make us feel helpless or hopeless. But God is patient with the brokenhearted, so don't give up. So my application for these women, these mothers remind us that God doesn't work only through the strong. He works through the struggling. He works through the imperfect. He works through people like us. So a summary of this theme, God works through imperfect people, growth comes through struggle, and grace meets us in our weakness. Destructive influence. The Bible doesn't only have nice women and great women. It also have women that weren't so great. And I know that there's woman that is on everybody's mind. And we'll get to that one first. But not every mother used her influence for good. Some used it for evil. And their stories warn us about the power of influence. Jezebel. Y'all knew that one was coming first, right? Okay. In 1 Kings, it doesn't say specifically that she promoted Baal worship. It doesn't say that specifically. But her father was a priest king of Baal. And the Bible notes that only after Ahab marries her that Ahab serves and worships Baal. In fact, he later sets up a temple for Baal in Samaria. Now, she later persecuted God's prophets and seems to have led her children into wickedness. An example is King Ahaziah. Now, we read about him in 2 Chronicles chapter 23, verses 3 through 4, where it says, In part, he also walked in the way of the house of Ahab, for his mother advised him to do wickedly. Now, you may not realize that, but his mother was Athaliah. Athaliah was Jezebel's daughter. Like mother, like daughter. So speaking of Athaliah, I don't know if you're aware, but she seized the throne when her son died. And then she killed all the other heirs to the throne. Killed them all so that she could have power. All except one, Joash. Now that God preserved him. In 2 Kings chapter 11, verse 3 reads, "So he was hidden," he being Joash, "he was hidden with her in the house of the Lord for 6 years, and Athaliah reigned over the land." So, from Athaliah, we get the lesson, ambition without righteousness leads to destruction, even generational destruction. Herodias. Now, we all know about Herodias, Herod and Herodias, and the famous dance, but she used her daughter to secure the death of John the Baptist. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because it's obvious, but the lesson I take is when pride and bitterness rule the heart, the next generation suffers because of it. So these stories remind us that influence is powerful. Every parent, every leader, every Christian leaves a mark. The question is not whether we influence others, but how we influence others. So the theme for these three women: influence is powerful, influence shapes generations, and influence must be righteous. Spiritual mothers. Mothers who modeled spiritual leadership. Now, some mothers in Scripture didn't just raise children, they shaped disciples. Lois and Eunice. In 1 Timothy, they are referenced. Paul writes about them. Lois and Eunice show the quiet power of generational faithfulness, passing down a sincere trust in God that shaped Timothy into a strong spiritual leader. Their example reminds us that spiritual leadership often begins at home, long before it is seen in public ministry. Through their steady influence, a young man learned the scriptures that would anchor his life. Now, Timothy's father was not a believer, to the best of our knowledge. He was not a believer. But his mother and grandmother taught him the scriptures from childhood. Paul refers to Lois and Eunice in 2 Timothy when he says, "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also." And later Paul writes in chapter 3, verse 14 through 15, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ." So Timothy was, and we are, happy beneficiaries of the genuine faith that his mother and his mother's mother passed down to Timothy, because through them, we learned a valuable lesson. And that lesson is, you don't need a perfect home to raise a faithful child. What you do need is a sincere faith and the scriptures. Mary, the mother of John Mark. Now, Peter was in prison one of many times. Mary's home became a refuge for believers, a place where Christians instinctively gathered in time of fear, prayer, and uncertainty. Her spiritual leadership created an atmosphere where faith lived and hospitality strengthened the early church. In her house, the early disciples seemed to find courage and community. Now, if you read in Acts chapter 12, we see the account of Paul being freed from prison by an angel. At the time, he thinks he's seeing a vision. He doesn't know what he's seeing is really happening. So, picking up in verse 11 of chapter 12, "And when Peter had come to himself, he said, 'Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and was delivered, and has delivered me from the land of, from the hand of Herod, from all the expectation of the Jewish people.' So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying." So a lesson that we can take from that: a godly home becomes a refuge for God's people, a place where believers naturally can gather in times of need, prayer, and crisis. Lydia. Now, it was through her hospitality and devotion that she modeled how a spiritually grounded woman can shape a community for Christ. Now, the scripture doesn't expressly state that Lydia was a mother, so including her in this list may be a little bit of a stretch. But she is referred to in scripture as being the head of her household. Acts chapter 16, verse 15 states she and her household were baptized, and verse 40 references are made to the house of Lydia. So she may not have had children, but she certainly was a motherly figure because she was leader of that house. So I will, just to be transparent, say that that's inferred. But the scriptures I want to focus on are actually verses 15 and 40. So in Acts chapter 16 and verse 15, Lydia says to the group, and that's Paul's group, immediately after she is baptized, says, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." So she persuaded us. So immediately after becoming a Christian, she opens her house to Paul and her and his group. His group is at least Paul, Silas, and Mark. Oh, I shouldn't say that. Okay. Paul, Silas, and Luke. That's it, right? Because Luke's the writer. Okay. No, I shouldn't have said that. Okay. Later in verse 40, it states that immediately after a short stint in prison, another different time that Paul was in prison, Paul's group was directed to depart Philippi. But even amidst the pressure from the local leaders to leave the area, they elected first to go see Lydia and her family. So Acts chapter 16, verse 40 says, "So they went out of the prison and entered the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they encouraged them and departed." Now, Lydia's household had clearly become a gathering place for believers, and Paul certainly did not want to leave without encouraging the family of believers that were there. Now, the lesson that I take from this is that spiritual leadership often begins with something as simple as hospitality, how we treat others. Naomi, let's go back to the Old Testament. Now, Naomi's life shows the quiet strength of a woman who walks with God even through bitterness, loss, and uncertainty. Her steady faith and integrity drew Ruth towards the Lord, shaping Ruth's devotion until Ruth said, "Your God will be my God." Now, through Naomi's guidance, a broken household became the setting for God's redemptive work, because through Ruth, the Christ is eventually born. Now, Naomi teaches us that spiritual leadership often begins with faithful influence, the kind of life that makes others say, "Your God will be my God." So in summary, leadership is influence. Homes can be ministries. Trust must be guarded. So putting it all together. So when you put all these stories together, you see what I would consider to be a beautiful truth. God can and will work through our faith, our struggles, our influences, and our leadership. And that is clearly demonstrated through the lives of these women we discussed today. So those lessons that we learned are: have faith in hard times. Know that you will grow spiritually because of your struggles. Guard your influence. Make sure that you use it for God. And be a spiritual leader in your own family. So today, as we honor mothers, let's also honor the God who worked and continues to work through our faithful mothers. So looking at the women we studied today, let's learn from their faith as well as their failings. Let's imitate their courage and follow the good examples. But above all, let's trust the God who uses ordinary people to accomplish extraordinary things. So are you in God's family? Paul writes in Galatians 3, verse 26 through 28, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus." So if you're here and you have not put on Christ and you have not joined the brotherhood and the sisterhood of the Lord's kingdom, and you're ready to be baptized, or if you need the prayers of the church, either way, the invitation is for you. If we can assist in any way, please come forward as we stand and sing.